All right, have your Bibles turned to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to find out how we can develop courage. I've asked the Lord to lay this message on my heart as to what to share today, as I always ask the Lord for messages. What can I share with your people today to help them along their journey? We all have a journey. We're all on the journey of life. What can I give these people to help them? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share today. And this message you laid in my heart, help me do a good job on it, to bring encouragement and courage to these that are in front of me. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to do it. Hide me behind the cross. Don't let them see me. I want them to see you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. How can we receive courage? Fear is a powerful, powerful emotion. It can grip your heart as an individual. I think it's done its share of gripping our nation with this pandemic. It has gripped our nation. Every time we turn on the news, fear can grip the nation as well. I really believe that our nation was in its grips for quite some time. We have an unstable world that's filled with a lot of uncertainty. Elroy related to it today in his Sunday school. We're living in uncertain times. We don't know what the future holds. So there's many reasons to become anxious and fearful. And especially those of you who do not know Christ as your Savior, your fears are quite justified. You have no assurance of this life, in this life, or in the life thereafter. But for us believers, we don't have to live in that continual fear. Christ lives within us, and he has overcome the world. Nehemiah knew how to stand tall and strong on his knees at the same time. God doesn't want his children to be ruled by fear. Are you being ruled by fear today? He so often tells us in the scripture to fear not. Does anybody know how many fear nots there are in the Bible? 365. How about that? You think that's by mistake or circumstance or chance? We have a fear not for every day. So we don't need to live in fear. There's no reason for us to have to live in fear. There are times when circumstances warrant it, but we're not to live in that perpetual state. But we're to live with courage, with faith. We need to trust in him each and every day. So that brings me to Joshua chapter 1, verses 2. I'm getting some feedback. Verses 2 through 9. We have a very good example here in this passage where God advocates this response of courageousness. After the death of Moses, we were instructed that Joshua was appointed to lead the Israelites to the promised land, and we were told what part of the promised land his feet would touch. What a task for a young man who needed to have courage for this task. Courage isn't the absence of fear, but courage is a response to it. Courage could be simply defined as the attitude of mind and heart that would enable us to face danger, obstacles, whatever they may be. Challenges is a good word. Life has lots of challenges. And we're to do that fearlessly, firmly, and calmly, peaceably. That's what's wonderful about serving Jesus, is we can do it with peace. We can make some decisions and feel peaceable about it. Because God gives us what we need in the time that we need it. So there are specific situations that require courage. I'm going to give you a list of them. The first one is waiting for the Lord. Boy, who likes to wait for the Lord? Waiting for the Lord. In Psalms 27:14, we read, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage." Yes, wait for the Lord. Whew, I'm not good with waiting. I know some other people that aren't good with waiting. We like everything to work out according to our timetable. You heard me say that lots of times. But there's occasions when we have to wait on the Lord. We don't have a choice. We got to wait on him. I'm not real good with that, but I know that some of you were waiting on the Lord. I've been in the family situations where we were waiting for the loved one, for Jesus to come and pick up the loved one. I've prayed the prayer of release with the family to release our loved one. You see, our love holds them here when they don't want to stay any longer. Our love holds them here. But they're ready to go. And you need to be ready to let them go. You have to let them go. And you need to let them go. Release them so they can go home. Just release them. God wants us to trust him to work things out in his way. And always according to his timing. It's his timing. We sing a song here about his timing, don't we, Scotty? So there's another situation for courage. During imminent danger. Imminent danger. During the storm, when Jesus came walking on the water, the disciples were terrified. Now, these disciples were fishermen, quite accustomed to storms. It wasn't unusual for them to be caught in a storm. That was a usual thing with fishing. Do you ever watch that wild tuna? Huh? How they got out there in those wild waters to catch all those crab legs that you like to eat? A storm. What kind of storm has come in your life recently? These disciples were terrified at this storm. Jesus said, as he appeared to them, walking on the water in the midst of the storm, he said, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Matthew 14:27. In the midst of your storm, the Lord's coming to you and he's saying, "It is I. Be not afraid. I've overcome the world. Don't be afraid. It'll be okay." Remember maybe your parents coming to your bedside when you were sick, patting your forehead, saying, "It'll be okay, honey. It'll be okay." That's what the Lord was doing when he came to the disciples. He said, "It'll be okay. It's I. Be not afraid. You don't need to be afraid." It's in moments like this when we become overwhelmed with fear. Our emotions are natural. But we don't have to stay in that state. If we'll turn to the Lord for help and peace, he'll be there. Always be there. Another time for courage is uncertainty. Uncertainty. We could have countless possible scenarios this morning of times that we need courage. We don't need to know always what will happen. We like to know, but we don't always have to know. We just have to know that he has control. We have no control over lots of things in life, by the way. We have no control over it. But he has all control. He has all control that you need. He said, "In the world, you'll have tribulation." In John 16:33, "But take courage, I have overcome the world." You see, again, the response is that we need to trust him. We need to rest in his peace that only he alone provides. And then to this situation again that we've all had a part in, human frailty and death. All of us here have had that happen in our life. I think about human frailty when I had to put a port in my wife's chest to give her chemo. The very time that they put the chemo port in, COVID was at its peak. The John Hopkins doctor and the doctor of cancer in Sillings Grove, as Gene knows who he is, they got together and they talked. They decided that for my wife, the best thing to do was probably to avoid the chemo at this point in time, because chemo takes all of your natural defenses away from you. Your body has no way of fighting anything. Your body can't fight anything. Can't fight anything off. The body has no way of defense. By taking chemo, you destroy the body's defense. So the John Hopkins doctor decided that was not a good idea during COVID. So they decided to not forego chemo. And we went with the hormonal treatments, which, by the way, has put her cancer in remission. So you see, God's way is always the best way. And we have to consult him. We went to him and we asked the Lord to help us with this. This was a tough decision. What are we going to do? Send us to the right people. We got to make the right decision here. It's not always easy to do, because a lot of things can happen in life. These experiences in life are terrifying. Tough decisions. But for believers, there's hope. Paul said it this way: though we groan in these earthly bodies, we are promised a glorified body. You see, the Holy Spirit has given us a pledge for our resurrection. It has to do with our new body. It's why Paul said it this way: therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, as you see me here, and I see you here, we're presently at home in the body. But when we are, we're absent from the Lord. Now that means we're absent from his bodily presence. He's always here. He's here with you. But we're absent in bodily presence in heaven, you see. That's what that means. We're absent from the Lord. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage. Now, we prefer rather to be absent from the body than to be at home with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, 6, 7, and 8. Your loved ones are already with the Lord, and I'm glad they are. I'm glad they don't have to go through some of the things we've been experiencing these past couple years. I'm glad they don't have to experience it. It's enough for us, too. It's a challenge for us. I'm glad they're not here to have to experience it. And lastly, another situation, when you have an overwhelming task, an overwhelming job, maybe you got a new job you have to start on. Always hated new jobs. God gives us gifts, he gives us talents, and he gives us abilities. Are you using what God has given you? You know, God gives us special talents, special gifts. They're special because you can do it. With God's help, you can do it. Sometimes you feel fearful and inadequate. There are times I've felt very inadequate doing funerals. Every time I have a funeral to perform, I always feel inadequate. But I know that God's word will not return void. So I use that opportunity to share about Jesus and what he can do for you. He can give you help. He can give you hope. He promises that. It's probably how Joshua felt when God commanded him to lead the nation of Israel. And that's why the Lord had admonished him three times that he was to be courageous. We read it there in chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 9 were the three times that God admonished Joshua to be courageous. So how do we develop courage? I'm going to leave you with these six ways that we can develop courage. When the Lord commanded Joshua to be courageous, he gave him instructions on how to do that. And we read those. And the first one was found in verse 8. The book of the law, that's the Bible, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. So the first one, instruction, is meditation on God's word. Meditate on it day and night. It involves reading of the scriptures, thinking deeply about what you've read, asking questions of the Lord of the things you read. Did you ever do that? I have. I haven't always gotten my answers, but I've gotten my answers in God's timing. In his timing, he gave me the answers. We need to program our minds with the Lord's thoughts to guide us throughout the course of the day. We want to respond as he desires in every situation. There's lots of things we have to make decisions on. It's not always easy to do. And after you made the decision, you wonder if that was the right one to make. Read God's word, meditate on it, pray, so that God can lead you to make those rightful decisions and that he'll give you peace about it after you made them. The second one is obey the word of the Lord. Obey the word of God. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Verse 7. What do you think that means? I can fill in a little of my own thoughts. No. No. Absolutely not, Roger. Do exactly as I tell you. Are you listening? Do exactly what I tell you. Don't you fill in the blank. That's not going to work. Do what I told you to do. The Bible is an instruction book for life, by the way. Tells us how to handle various situations in a manner that pleases and honors our Lord. In the most trying of situations in life, we can quote these verses to sustain and strengthen us, to be able to respond with boldness and calmness and tranquility. Isn't that a beautiful word? I used another word like it, peace. Peace is a word that goes with tranquility. After you made the decision, you feel okay about it. You have a peace about it, a tranquility. Your defeat on God's word, meditate on God's word, and obey his word will help you to build courage and spiritual strength. Thirdly, recall God's past faithfulness. Can you recall anything of God's faithfulness in your life? I can recall many times. Many times he's been so faithful to me. I didn't deserve any of it, but he loved me and he was faithful to me. The Lord challenged Joshua to remember his past faithfulness to Moses and the people. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, rise and cross Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm given to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given to you, just as I spoke to Moses. Verse 2 and 3. Keeping a journal is one way that you can remind yourselves of God's favor. Anybody here keep a journal? That's something I've never done. Anybody here keep a journal of things you do? There I see a hand. God bless you. My, wow. I don't know. I just don't have the patience maybe for that. I don't know. Bless you for having been able to do that. You know what? If you guys have journals, maybe it's something you might want to highlight for when somebody does your funeral. You might want to highlight some things in your journal that you'd like to have somebody read about. Makes it easy for those people to do that for you. I thought about that. I thought, man, that'd be kind of nice. Make it easy for the one doing my service to just read those parts of the journal that were highlights in my life. It was a highlight in my life, and I just enjoyed it so much. Israel would be a place there that I would put in my journal. I love my trip to Israel. A lot of walking, but I really enjoyed it. One of the best trips of my life. to walk where Jesus walked. Wow. What a blessing and honor it was. Fourthly, observe the courage of other people. Are you looking at how they approach life and things in life? Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Verse 5. When the Lord had called Moses to lead his people out of Egypt, I know he was fearful. And he gave several excuses why he wasn't the one for the job. But God empowered him to complete it. Moses' trust in the Lord and his courageous obedience was an example for Joshua to follow. Fifthly, understand what is at stake. The Lord has promised Abraham he'd make him a great nation and give him the land of Canaan and bless all the nations through him. So what was that stake for Joshua? Was to see that that was a fulfillment. Joshua was to see the fulfillment of God's promise he gave Israel as part of God's redemption plan through the Messiah, through Jesus. Today our stake is to boldly stand for our Lord in the face of criticism. By the way, it's not getting easier, it's getting harder to represent Christ in a heathen nation. Our nation is fastly becoming heathen. How many of you remember when you could still pray and read the Bible in the school? Look at this. Where is it now? Our schools have become heathens. Centers of heathenism. Our higher education colleges and universities have become classes of heathenism. You're wondering why we're experiencing the things we are in this nation? You don't need to look far. Just look where God's been kicked out of every area that they can kick them, and they're not done kicking. The devil's got some more things he wants to do. He wants to erase this society of God. No pledge of allegiance. Take God off our money and God we trust. Get rid of it. We don't want God in anything. Don't you know socialism is a government without God? Or didn't you know that? It's a government without God. It's preparation for the Antichrist. That's where it's coming. That's why you see the things happening, because we're getting ready for the Antichrist to rule. And his rule is a godless rule. He does not recognize the gods of his fathers. That's what the Bible says in Daniel. He is a man who does not recognize the gods of his fathers. The gods they serve, he don't recognize. Lastly, remember God's promise. I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Verse 5. We have an unwavering faith and courage because the Lord is with us every moment in every circumstance of life. With his presence comes his power and his protection and his provisions. Every head bowed, every eye is closed now. What are you facing today that's making you anxious or fearful? Would filtering the situation through God's word change your response? Are your fears based on the uncertainty of the future? Dread of what might take place? What would happen if you shifted your focus to the one who holds the future? Who holds the keys? The book of Revelation says he holds the keys. He holds them. He holds the future in your hands. He has promised to give you his presence and his power, his provisions, and his protection. Hallelujah. I ask you to stand now with me. Thank you, Lord, for this message. Thank you for the opportunity to be back in the pulpit, Lord. I've really enjoyed all much of life and what you've given to me. I've been overblessed many times over. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Lord, for all your goodness. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for this wonderful day that we've come and gathered as a church. I'm so glad that we're here today. I miss the times when we couldn't gather. I really appreciate the times we've gathered now. Maybe there's some of you who will be listening to this message by way of internet. I pray for you and your life and family as well. I pray that you'll have courage to take the step and accept Jesus Christ into your Lord as Lord of your life. Receive him. Ask him to come and live in your life so you also can have courage to face tomorrow. You don't need to worry about what you hear on the news. God will give you his peace that passes all understanding. And I wish that for you and your family as well. I pray that you'll take that step today and invite him to come and live in your heart and life today. It would make such a difference. Oh, it would give you such assurance that you don't have to be afraid of tomorrow, because you can see now the keys he holds in his hands. Thank you, Lord, for this day and for these people and for this very moment in life. Ask you, Lord, now to bless your word as it has gone forth. May it find place in each and every one of our hearts today. And may we be more courageous today than we were yesterday. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody said, amen. Lord, bless you.